the best education in America. At Harvard University, you don't get better education than
that. Andrew, I have to thank you because my partner here throws around that he went to NYU every chance he gets. So we have someone who went to a more prestigious college than he had.
I don't know about all that, but I'm happy to be here and was certainly blessed from an educational standpoint to have the opportunity to go there.
So. You know, but it's also about the work that you do and the commitment that you and your family made to education growing up, right? I mean, you don't just get the opportunity to go to Harvard out of nowhere. That's being in class every day, working hard every day, and committing yourself to education being a priority.
I'll tell you what, my parents, they were the first members of their family to go to college. And so from from like the womb, education was always priority number one in our household. And in fact, my parents told me growing up, okay, hey, look, you're in football, you're in basketball, you're in baseball, you're playing all these sports, but realize if you don't get A's in school, we're going to pull you off the team. Mm-hmm. So that was a pretty big incentive for me to make sure that I was in class doing my assignments and going to the, you know, doing everything to the best of my ability.
And how has, you know, because I don't think we really, it dawns on us while we're going through it, while we're in school and while we're learning. How has just going through school and taking the different classes helped you learn as you do this job and your previous jobs in the NFL?
I'll tell you, the biggest thing is, you know, all the subject material that you study growing up, whether it's elementary school, middle school, certainly high school and college, it develops what we call critical thinking skills. So, you know, there are certain subjects that you'll take with you as an adult, but there are others where it's more about the thought processes and sort of problem solving and ways to look at problems differently that can really be applied in all walks of life.
Andrew Berry is the Browns VP of Player Personnel. He is with us. All right, Emmett. So you can log on to clevelandbrowns.com right now, and you can bid on the opportunity to have lunch with Browns VP of Player Personnel, Andrew Berry. Now, we were laughing in the last commercial break because, Andrew, everybody in Cleveland thinks they can do your job. I already am getting Deshaun Kizer, Deshaun Watson.
And I immediately say, if you listen to our show from 3 to 5, we have a lot of opinions.
We think that we can do your job, but really only you can do your job. So someone's going to have the opportunity to go to lunch with you and maybe put some ideas in Andrew's head. You know, we got the 2 first-round picks, 2 second-round picks up in 2017.
It'll be very exciting to certainly, hopefully, you know, meet an aspiring scout, I guess, if you will. and we can sort of go through a couple film breakdowns. Certainly the draft will be, you know, or really draft preparation will be in full swing at that time of the year. And, you know, I'm certainly excited to hear, you know, any fan's perspective in that regard. And it should be a really fun, hopefully a valuable auction item for us. Yeah.
So as we watch college football, you know, the beginning of the football season, especially in college, you usually have these great teams versus, you know, lesser. I don't want to disrespect them, but, you know, lesser competition, I would say. You look at Ohio State hangs up 77 on Bowling Green. As a scout, how do you get any – how do you learn anything from that?
Yeah, well, so I guess I would say two things about perhaps the disparity in competition. One, as a scout, one of your primary jobs – is to identify the tool set that a player has. So that could be speed, strength, power, acceleration, elusiveness. And regardless of exposure, those are all traits or tools that you can identify regardless of the level of competition. And then the second thing is, even though there may be a gap in the level of competition at the team level, that's not necessarily the case at the player level. So, you know, good players come from everywhere, from all levels of competition, you know, whether it's Division I, Division II, Division III. And so there can be some really strong individual matchups, you know, regardless of perhaps the final score or the discrepancy in talent at the team level.
How often do you go scout a game and maybe you're there to see someone in particular and somebody else kind of pops off the field? How often does that happen where you weren't even thinking about this guy and next year like, hey?
No, it definitely happens a handful of times a year. And I'll also say that a lot of times, you know, when you go out in the fall, you're really more focused on the senior class just because the other underclassmen, they'll declare later in the year. A lot of times that may happen where that sort of flash player might be either a junior or even, you know, even a sophomore who's not draft eligible. So then you go back a year or two later and you're like, oh, you know, I remember that player. You know, he was he was the guy who flashed when I was, you know, watching, you know, when I was at the Louis game in, you know, 2013 or something like that. And he's now draft eligible and you remember him from that exposure.
Interesting. Browns VP of player personnel, Andrew Berry, is our guest. Andrew, 14 draft picks, 17 rookies currently on the Browns roster. So at one game in and a training camp, how would you evaluate where we're at with the 2016 class?
Well, certainly it's still very early. These you know, all these players are very young in their professional career. But we are pleased so far with the individual development and individual progress of the rookie class as a whole. And really, the credit should go to, you know, Hugh and his staff. It's a staff with, you know, decades and decades of NFL experience, and really there isn't a you know, a better group of men to lead a very, very young roster. And we anticipate that those players will continue to make progress throughout the year.
Is there one guy who's kind of jumped up and surprised you, maybe been a little bit better than you thought?
You know, I wouldn't say that there has been a surprise. You know, by and large, you know, the rookie class, whether it's the draft picks, you know, or the CFAs, have been in line from a skill set perspective with what we've expected. You know, the part that's tough from an evaluation standpoint is, okay, well, how quickly will these guys, you know, develop? You know, one player in particular, right, Carl Nassib, has really quite honestly hit the ground running, you know, very quickly in his young career. And we're excited about the progress that he's made thus far. But by and large, we are very, very pleased with the class as a whole.
So as a fan, as I watch, you know, college football, and the year's over with, and I'm like, oh, okay, I've seen this quarterback and that quarterback. They got to be the best two, you know, in college football. But then the combine comes along, and next thing you know, you start hearing about guys that come out of nowhere. Are those guys already on your radar? It's just that maybe it's not publicized that these dudes have talent, you know, maybe if it's not someone from Alabama or Ohio State or something like that?
No, I think that's very accurate. One of the things that maybe doesn't get communicated publicly is the fact that, you know, scouts across the league, so the 2017 draft class, that's actually started in May of 2016.
Okay.
So, you know, scouts across the league are getting familiar with the rising seniors and rising juniors throughout the spring and summer. So some of those may be late risers.
Mm-hmm.
They maybe just sort of cross the, you know, the public's view at a later point in time. Now, that being said, there are players that pop up late or players that have surprise senior seasons or players that are late bloomers, you know, at a later point in the year. But many of the perhaps more highly publicized late bloomers, if you will, they're players that maybe just, you know, lagged a little bit in terms of getting on the public radar.
Well, I got a tip for you. I know a player, right? Okay. I know you guys have said it running back for a while, but there's a 10-year-old kid that plays in the Brooklyn Youth Football League. His name's Ethan Golden. He's a beast. I'm just letting you know. You know, so keep an eye on him. You might want to check him out.
I'll have to make a scouting trip after we finish off the radio.
I'll send you the schedule.
Oh, okay.
I got you covered.
Oh, I was putting some YouTube videos together.
Oh, all the time.
Don't worry. You know, it's funny. Quarterback dominates our conversation so much, and I'm sure it's a big part of what you guys talk about too. We had an injury, you know, yesterday, Robert going on injured reserve. How would you feel, Andrew, about Cody Kessler, your rookie, being thrust into game action? Because now, with Josh as the starter, he's one play away.
So I guess first I'll say a couple things. One, you know, obviously we're disappointed for Robert, disappointed because of all the work that he had put in, you know, throughout the spring and summer and the progress that he was making with Hugh and the staff. Secondly, we have, you know, full faith in Josh McCown. I mean, here's a guy who has over a decade of NFL experience, has played at a very high level as a starter, and it's one reason why, you know, we thought he is so important to our roster. You know, and in terms of Cody, you know, ultimately we drafted him because we do have belief in him.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, really any player on the 53-man roster, they have to be ready to play. I mean, the reality in the NFL is if you're on the 53-man roster, in all likelihood, you're going to be active in a given week. And so, you know, Hugh and the staff will have that whole entire group prepared, and We have confidence in all the guys that we have in that quarterback room and expect them to produce.
Do you think, you know, Robert, Sashi said last week that Robert may be a part of the Browns' long-term plans, that you think he's a long-term option. Does this injury change that, or does this franchise still see Robert Griffin as a long-term part of its quarterback future?
No, I think, I mean, Sashi sort of, you know, nailed it on the head that you know, when we signed Robert, you know, we had long-term plans in mind. And ultimately, you know, obviously the injury is a is a setback, but we'll continue to, you know, evaluate how he progresses in his recovery. With the new IR rules this year, you can obviously place a player on IR and designate them as a player who can return. So it's not out of the question that we would see Robert in the game again this year.
How much work are we doing now on the 2017 class and the 2017 quarterbacks? Because our fans are already doing work on the 2017 quarterback.
So they probably got more free time than you.
So I would tell you that, you know, our scouting department, our college scouting department, they've been doing work on the 2017 draft class since really, you know, this past spring, you know, mm-hmm. April, May, and that's no different than across the league. So when that time comes, and, you know, we still have many, many months before we get to draft day in 2017, you know, we'll certainly be prepared to identify the players across all positions that we think can help our roster.
Well, we hope, Andrew, the Browns are drafting 32 mm-hmm. and one. Absolutely. You know, that maybe the Eagles finish with the worst record and the Browns win the Super Bowl. If it doesn't happen that way, anything you can reveal about what the Browns board in their mind could look like for 2017?
Yeah, I tell you what, I think it's really, quite honestly, too early for any type of prediction. You know, to be like, hey, we're in week one of 2016 and our focus is on, you know, winning every game, winning the next game. And all of our focus and energy this week is on the Baltimore Ravens. So
if you need any help with the 2026 draft, just let me know.
That's Emmett's draft. There you have it. Andrew Harris, Deshaun Kizer, number one on the draft. Andrew, thanks so much for taking the time. Thank you for, you know, putting up lunch with you, which is a really unique opportunity for a Browns fan to get to see the behind the scenes, right, of what goes into the draft process. ClevelandBrowns.com. You can bid on it now. Lunch with VP of Player Personnel, Andrew Berry. Andrew, really good to spend some time, get to know you a little bit. And thanks for donating your time and energy to our radiothon.
Thanks for having me, guys. It was a pleasure.